to read, and a revival happened in his heart. All of a sudden, Calvary Chapels blew up and became the largest growing groups of church in the United States and internationally. People who would open the Word and teach the Word apart from a denominational background and somebody telling them what to do. Freedom from having a relationship with Jesus that would lead us back to the Word. And that's what we're going to get to today, because there is a transforming work that takes place when you and I understand that it is by faith we have been saved, and not of our works, not of our performance, not of all those things we do. And so these verses today will sum up those points. To get to them, we've got to backtrack a little bit. Although we're going to be in verses 16 and 17, we've got to kind of pick back up in verse 14 of chapter 1 in order to kind of put this all together. So last week we concluded with Paul saying in chapter 1, verse 14, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And today, now we add on to this verse 16, which concludes this thought, and it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. So here what we find in verses 14 through 16 are three I am statements that Paul makes. And in these I am statements of this introduction, he is giving us a theme to start with. The first one he said, which is in verse 14, he says, I am a debtor. And I like that, because when we were in verse 1, Paul said, I am a bondservant of Jesus. I am the lowest form of servant. I'm a slave to him. My life is about fulfilling his will. And that's how he introduced himself. But Paul had a healthy understanding of the debtedness that he owed to Christ for what Jesus had done for him. And we're not talking about he was trying to pay it back. What he was doing was living in a place of gratitude. He understood what it cost Jesus to set him free. And he says, man, without you, I would still be dead in sins and trespasses. So he identifies himself as a debtor. And I like that because as we spoke about last week, this wasn't putting him in a position of burden. It wasn't putting him in a place of drudgery. God had given him a calling and had given him the gifts to fulfill the calling. And so to be a debtor to Jesus is the very best place in life to ever be, because Jesus will never owe any man anything. And for anything that you and I do as we're serving the Lord, he will always make sure that he is ahead of us in the giving. We are the receiver. So even as a debtor, we're in the best possible place to be. The next I am, or the second one, he says, I am ready. And I like that because it speaks of, I believe, Paul's eagerness, not only his preparation. He was prepared to teach the gospel because that was his calling and his gifting. And he was on fire to do that very thing. So he was prepared. But I think when he's saying, I'm ready, it's not just saying I'm ready like I've done my homework. It's like, let me at him. Let me go. I want to proclaim the gospel. Set me free to get out there and to do this work. And he says, man, I'm ready to come to Rome. I am eager to share with you what God is doing in me. And what I found interesting as I was thinking about that is sometimes it's the Lord who prepares us before we're even willing to go. Like I can think of all the times before I was a believer, and now I become a believer in Jesus, and I look back and go, Lord, you were preparing me all along the way for the calling that you had for me. You'd give me the giftings, you'd open doors and opportunities. I couldn't even see it. And sometimes the Lord does that. He prepares us before we're willing. And other times it's because we're willing that it causes him to then prepare us or to give us giftings or to give us experiences that we didn't even know could exist. But regardless of which one comes first, both are necessary in these I am statements. You've got to have them both. And I would say, are you ready? Are you eager? In your calling, whatever God is moving your heart to, I mean, are you just going, yeah, I'm prepared. And if it doesn't happen this week, that's okay. And if it doesn't happen next month, that's okay with me too. And a matter of fact, the more I think about it, if it never happens because I prepared myself, I'm good. I hope that's not our heart. I hope even as you listen to these passages, you're going, okay, am I ready? Am I willing? Am I eager? Paul says, I am. I'm a debtor and I'm ready. And then finally he says, and I am not ashamed of the gospel. As I was thinking about that thing with I'm not ashamed of the gospel, hopefully I don't need to explain that very far. Paul really wanted to speak the gospel. He wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ, and he didn't care about their opinions. But unfortunately, in our culture today, there are many who are believers who have been saved, and they kind of have a mentality that says, man, if I share the gospel, people will think I'm a nut job. They won't like me at work. They'll isolate me. And we often get in these circles where we want to associate with people who are prominent or prosperous or powerful. And so we kind of go along with the following of name dropping. You all know what name dropping is in your conversation. You throw out the bigwig's name or the important person, the person who everybody sees as more spiritual, and hope that there will be some association with you to it. Like you're going to hitch yourself to their pony. And that is a cultural thing that takes place all the time. And for that reason, many people do not proclaim the gospel. I want you to think of Paul. Paul's going to go into Rome now, and Rome is leading the world at this time, the known world. I mean, they are really ruling and reigning, and they're a powerful group of people. And here Paul is, and he's going to go into Rome, and he's going to proclaim a poor Jewish man who was rejected by his own countrymen, executed in the most humiliating possible way by a foreign government, buried in a borrowed tomb. And this is exactly the opposite of name dropping from what most people would think. And I'm afraid that many Christians even approach the gospel this way. They're ashamed to share. They say, oh man, in our culture, he's not looked upon highly. He looks to be in the way of what people want to do. So we're just going to withhold that part because I don't want people to think that I'm crazy. But for all of us who really know Jesus, and for Paul who really knew him, knew the truth, he knew there is no other name. This is the only one that is significant, the only one which has power, which we'll see today. In that name, we find a love that is unmatchable. It's unknowable apart from his name. And it fills the believer with such joy, and it is the name of Jesus, the gospel of our God. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that name. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'll proclaim it everywhere. And to those who know him, we find it the greatest honor ever that we could be known by his name, that he would associate with us. I mean, it's the reverse. The fact that he would say, those are my children, as sometimes I even duck my own head and go, Lord, really? And he says, man, you are my people. I love you. And our ability to be able to be called by his name and to share his name should set us on fire to go out, because he called us his own. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And it makes me think, how often do we not move forward with sharing, with telling people about the Lord, because we're afraid how they will perceive us in that moment? Paul says, I am past that point. I'm living for heaven. I know who's for me, and I know who I'm for, and it's Jesus Christ, my King. And I say, amen, do it. And the next thing we find in this verse is that the gospel is power. It's not just powerful, it is power. That's what he's saying, power to save, power to transform. It has power for those who will believe on the name of Jesus. And the world is looking for power. I was just at the beach recently, and when we were there, I met a young lady who was selling the bait for my crab pots. And as I was talking to her, I just felt like I should share the gospel. So I started talking with her. She was a very nice young lady, lots of tattoos. We were talking to, she was telling me the history about her tattoos and her experience in the army. And I said, so do you believe in a God? And she says, I'm a Wiccan. And for those of you who don't know about Wiccans, it's witchcraft. It's they believe they're the white hat of witches. And I said, you know, I have a